Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Do you get lost in thought about asteroids or goats? And you blurt out something really odd and everyone's like, whoa, don't be ashamed, that's spontaneous.
Welcome to the Holderness Family Podcast. It is our special series all about ADHD, and this is episode number 3 of that special series. I'm Penn Holderness, and I have ADHD. My lovely wife Kim and I wrote a book about it that you can pre-order right now. It's called ADHD is Awesome. Just Google that, ADHD is Awesome, and it'll pop right up. Or you can go to our website, ADHDisAwesomeBook.com. In the 3 parts of this special podcast series, we answered 3 big questions about a type of brain that is often misunderstood. Episode 1, we answered, what does ADHD look like? Number 2, what's the best way to help someone with ADHD? And today, what do I do with my ADHD? To help answer this question, we'll meet an actual ADHD coach, Dr. Noreen Russell. And at the end of the show, we'll talk to my son, PC, who's going to come up and give us some of his hacks and what he does with ADHD. Before we welcome Dr. Russell, I do need to get real here, okay? I still do not know exactly what to do with my ADHD, and I will never get it perfectly right. From writing the book and engaging with a coach, I have created some ADHD hacks in my life, and they've all helped. But all of them were created as a result of a mild to severe disaster in my life. For example, I wear pants with zippers because I've left my phone in 3 different cabs or Ubers in my life. I pee sitting down because if I don't, I'll forget to put the seat down and my wife will have a splashdown. I set a timer on my phone every time I turn on a gas stove because I've left it on and I've left the house with a bacon pan on top of it once and I almost burned the house down. I sing the glasses, wallet, keys, and phone song every time I get out of a car. It goes like this. You want to play some drums for this, PC? Glasses, wallet, keys and phone, glasses, wallet, keys and phone, make sure you have them all before you go. Glasses, wallet, keys and phone. There you go. I sing that song every time I get out of a car because once I left my keys in there, and the way cars are these days, if you leave your keys in the car, a thief can get in there even if the car is locked. And that happened once. Like, he rifled through my glove box and left. Luckily, that's all he did. He could have taken the car. He could have opened the garage door. So that's all really scary. These are all helpful and they may help you too, but how do I get these in place before disaster strikes? I know that my ADHD is different from yours or anyone else's, but I wanted to know the ground rules for ADHD systems. Dr. Noreen Russell of Russell Coaching helped consult on my new book, ADHD is Awesome. She's got ideas I've never heard of to manage ADHD, including hacks with computer monitors, multiple stations around the house to ease the forgetfulness, and yes, the most powerful reward of all, money. Don't knock it before you hear her explain it. Welcome, Dr. Russell. Thank you so much, not only for all the help you did on our book that we're putting out, but also for joining us today.
I'm thrilled to be here. I think the work that you're doing is so very important, and I'm happy to be back on the show.
Dr. Russell, I want to start with a fun fact.
It's a fun fact. Tricking you into learning something.
Did you know that vacuuming for 30 minutes burns over 100 calories? And you'd have to do quite a few burpees to get that many calories burned.
I did not know that. And that makes me happy because vacuuming is actually one of the few household chores that I actually enjoy. So I'm going to be pretty excited about that.
Good to know. I'll also say that ADHD people sometimes like vacuuming as well, but it fits into that sort of catch-all area of things that we probably would love to do well, but we don't always do well because they slip through the cracks. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I want to tell you a story, okay? Dr. Russell, my wife is out of town. My daughter is out of town. So the two ADHD people are in town. My son comes up to me with a smile on his face as we walk in the door yesterday and says, "Dad, you know, with the two of us here, there's like 100% better chance that we're going to burn the house down." And we both laughed, but we also know that it's true. We sometimes forget stuff. And so this section with us is going to be about getting systems in place to work that out. For starters, what do you think is the biggest reason why we do struggle with these things?
You know, it's not that hard to understand, actually. It's just a question of brain wiring. A person who has ADHD, their brain is less likely to focus in on what's the most important thing at the moment, and their brain is more likely to be distracted and impulsive. And so if that's the way the brain is wired, then sometimes it's hard to do things like remember to turn on the stove, turn off the stove, turn the water on, turn the water off, put the bills in the mail, pay the bills. And it has absolutely nothing to do with character or reliability or dependability or morality. It's just simply that the brain is wired in such a way that it makes getting some of those mundane everyday tasks done a little harder.
So the decision that Penn Charles and I made was that we decided every time that we do something responsible, we were going to celebrate like we just won the Super Bowl. Even though it was like a basic responsible thing, it's harder for us, so we wanted to give ourselves a little bit of a pat on the back. How important is positive reinforcement for the ADHDer?
What I love about what you've just said is it drives home the point that what we call the emotional valence of the reward has to be higher, because the motivation in an ADHD brain doesn't connect so tightly to the thinking part of the brain. So whereas for a neurotypical person without ADHD, you might say, "Great job," and give them a clap on the back and be like, "Yeah, we got this." The ADHD brain doesn't connect motivation and thinking so very well. And so what I'm always saying to parents is we have to increase the emotional valence of the reward. And so celebrating like you just won the Super Bowl is amazing. There are times when we'll suggest to parents, you know what, it might be worth a certain amount of money to say, "Hey, this is the kind of money you're going to earn on a job when you tackle this kind of task, like an AP end of year exam, right? Or getting your notebook in order," one of our students' least favorite tasks in high school, you know, but celebrating like you won the Super Bowl is absolutely essential. Now, whatever that means to that person, whether it's, you know, a student or an adult, but the reward has to be big so that it can connect between the motivation center of the brain and the front part of the brain.
Well, I also think it's really smart what you said, making a connection between what you're doing now and how that's going to help you down the road. That seems really important as well. How does it work if it's not a person with ADHD talking to a person with ADHD? Because we can both kind of have a little fun with that situation. Like, "Woohoo, you turned the stove off." I imagine if you're a parent or a spouse, you have to be careful not to patronize them when you're saying this, because to them, these tasks are not difficult. So is tone important?
Tone is vitally important. And I think that what I've learned, you know, over the last 15 years or so of working with families where someone has ADHD is there has to be genuine curiosity, right? Like, how does your brain actually work? We want to be on this person's team. We want to be the captain of this person's cheerleading team. We have to be genuinely curious about how this works. I think we can do the best with our tone when we're genuinely curious and when we take away the idea that kids or teenagers or our spouse are doing this on purpose. They're not trying hard enough. They don't care. We have to remove those thoughts, which are not true. We have to remove those and stay in a place of curiosity.
Just as important as people who support ADHD are people who support this podcast. And so we're going to let them talk right now.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Let's be honest. We've all had embarrassing BO moments. Like any time you have to speak in public, if you don't put deodorant on, Ooh. It's like a different type of sweat. Ugh. And you and I did like a thing and I got done. And thank God I had a blazer on because it sort of masked it. But then I took it off and got in the car and it was just like...
There is a lot of pit sweat. Yeah. Fortunately, Lumi Whole Body Deodorant is making it so none of us ever have to worry about that BO again.
Unlike certain other DOs, Lumi is powered by mandelic acid to control odor in a new way.
Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere from your pits to your feet.
Lumi is a game-changing deodorant designed by an OBGYN.
Fast forward 6 years and her Whole Body DO has now earned over 300,000 five-star reviews.
How? Well, unlike certain traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is formulated to stop odor before it starts, more like a pre-odorant.
I personally love that Lumi is baking soda free and paraben free.
You can choose from a variety of fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, or toasted coconut.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping.
As a special offer for listeners, new customers get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code HOLDERNESS at LumiDeodorant.com.
That equates to over 40% off your starter pack when you visit Lumi Deodorant and use code HOLDERNESS.
And it's Lumi, L-U-M-E. All right, you made it through that. Thanks for sticking around. Let's get back to the conversation. All right, let's segue into using that curiosity to help get these systems in place. Now, we know that ADHD is like a snowflake. There's no two ADHDs that are the same. But let's set some ground rules when it comes to systems. What are the systems, and when I talk systems, let's use the term hacks, ways that myself, my son, and our daily life can maximize our limited executive functioning capabilities to get through the stuff that's more difficult to us so that we can get to the good stuff on the other end, which is great creativity, enthusiasm, and all of that. What are the overarching rules for the best systems to get in place?
I think, first of all, visual charts, visual lists are essential, right? I think the first thing people with ADHD need to learn is you're not going to remember it all. You're going to think you're going to remember it all, but you're not going to remember it all. There is nothing wrong with a list on your bathroom mirror. There is nothing wrong with a list when you get in the car. There is nothing wrong with three bulletin boards or three monitors at work. Acknowledge that when you stop using all of your brain energy to remember what you're supposed to do, then you can do what you're supposed to do better, right? So visual, I think, is essential. Could be whiteboards, could be an extra monitor, you know, could be lists on your phone, but the visual piece, writing it down. And I don't care if you handwrite it in the most beautiful lettering or you type it on a note on your phone, but we've got to take it out of the working memory and put it on paper or on a screen.
You mentioned monitors and you mentioned writing stuff down. For my brain, there's a big difference between digital and analog. How do you suggest people do that? I think sometimes writing is better for me because it's the physical act of doing it that I think it just, it sticks to me better. And I think that if I write something in my phone, there's a chance that I'm going to check out what's going on that phone right after I write it down.
So we'd be thrilled that you know that about yourself, right? That you need to write it in pen or pencil on a piece of paper. So if you were working with us, we might have a whiteboard in every room of your house. Or, you know, we might get you a little backpack that you always carry around, a legal size pad in. We find sometimes the opposite is true, is that some people can write stuff without really thinking about it. And so the idea of organizing their thoughts on, say, a Google spreadsheet or in a Word document where they can move the tasks around and put them in order, that allows them to engage more with the content. So I have kids who can handwrite without thinking about it, and I have kids who can type without thinking about it. One of our jobs is to help students figure out which thing does help you process the information better.
There are times when I am going over my list and trying to get through my day and I just freeze. Paralysis, right? I've heard that term a lot in therapy before. Is that common? And what's going on there?
I think I've heard as many as five Fs in the coping mechanism. So we always think of fight or flight, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then we've got freeze. And then we've got fib. And then we've got feed, snack.
Yeah.
This is just normal. Because if you think about it, our brains are wired to take in a certain amount of information at a certain rate and pace and to make sense of that, right? Well, the ADHD brain can be great at taking in a lot of information. They can be attending to so many different things. You know, it's important to just stop and say, you know what? My brain is getting flooded with too much information. I need to slow down. I either need to take a break and walk around the block or play with the dog for 5 minutes, come back to it, reassess, okay, what have I gotten done? What's the most important thing left on the list? Don't hold yourself to this idea that the whole list has to get done, right? What's the next most important thing? Figure that out and go do that.
Yeah, how important is one at a time? Not just in the daily routine, but also in, I think, like adopting new tricks and systems. How important is it that you tackle these one at a time?
One at a time is so important, especially because not all, I don't want to overgeneralize, but so many people, by the time they get to be teenagers or young adults, they don't necessarily have great self-esteem because they feel like they have failed at learning to work their brain or achieving their potential or doing great in school, right? We don't want that. We don't want that for any human being. And so if we tackle one thing at a time, we're more likely to be successful and we might be able to channel our hyper-focus.
I lose stuff all the time. I'm not the only one who does. In your coaching, do you have any tips to people who lose stuff all the time?
So the answer to this is routine and a place. And maybe you have an organization expert or a closet expert or someone in your family who's good at this. Create places where things go. And in my experience, there can be two places for keys, right? If you have a front door and a back door, it's okay to have two key holders, right? Maybe one in the garage and one inside the front door. And it's okay to know that your keys might be either one of those two places. If you have a phone, it's okay to have two or three different charging stations, but the phone always goes on the charging station. I think that losing things is simply because there's not a place for it that it belongs. If you know in the back of your head, this actually should get put here, then it doesn't get lost. The key to not losing things is knowing there is a place where those things belong. Will they go there 100%? No. But if you could get to 75 or 80%, that'd be considered success. My son is particularly challenged with organization. Penn, we went so far as to get enormous labels. I'm not talking like a little tiny label maker. Big, huge labels on the front of his dresser drawers that says, boxers, socks, shorts, pants. I mean, this kid is smart. He's got a high IQ.
Right. But they've got to get past, and you've got to help them get past what might be some shame. Like, what? I'm old enough that I don't need this, to say, hey, there's adults who need this. Penn Holderness needs this. He's 49. He needs stuff labeled around the house in order to help him out. It's not the end of the world.
Understanding ADHD is awesome. People with ADHD are awesome. But the challenges can also be a little bit awesome at times.
With that term, awesome also meaning scary.
ADHD can be awesome once you understand ADHD, you understand right. The ADHD brain, and you understand what are your gifts and your talents and your skills. Once you become more than the ADHD diagnosis, you're just an awesome person. It doesn't matter to me if my 16-year-old son needs 3-inch high letters on his dresser drawer to remember that the socks go here, because you know what? That kid is already making a big, huge difference in the world. Who cares? Doesn't matter. We have to, as the team members, let go of what we think is normal or right or socially appropriate and just help. What difference does it make? It doesn't matter. My daughter right now is at the stage of life where she's like, I throw clean clothes in one laundry basket and dirty clothes in another one. Is that the way I was raised? No, no, sir, it wasn't. Does it work for her? Yep, it works for her.
Dr. Russell, let's get to some voicemails from some friends of ours. We asked, hey, you guys have any questions about ADHD? Here is one from the mother of an 8-year-old child.
Hey, my daughter is 8 years old and has recently been diagnosed with ADHD hyperactivity. And I'm looking for some resources to help me understand how her brain works, how best to help her learn to finish tasks, to manage her time, and to maybe remember the tasks that she's been given.
Awesome. So we've talked about some of those solutions, but she's asking about specific resources.
So the first one I would say is Attitude Magazine, which is now online, has wonderfully practical, concrete, science-based podcasts every week and articles every week. So while, of course, you can type ADHD into your Google search bar and come up with a million resources, what's so important as we're looking for resources is that we figure out what are reliable sources that are based in science. And so Attitude Magazine is a wonderful resource for parents at every stage and for adults who have ADHD as well. I would say for parents who are raising kids who have more than one diagnosis, you know, maybe their ADHD came along with autism or came along with a mood disorder, the resource childmind.org is another terrific resource that is more clinically based and can help taking a look at what's the complex child, you know, the kid with more than one diagnosis.
We've got one more voicemail, and this is about supporting your spouse.
Hi, I love you guys. Thank you so much for all you do. I am wondering how a spouse of somebody with ADHD can support them, but also not enable them.
Ooh, it was that last bit that really hit me. Not just to support them, but make sure you don't enable them.
This is important. And this is in many ways kind of the same dynamic between teenagers and parents. How do you support while also helping that person to have agency to find their own solutions? At the bottom of this, I think this is ADHD coaching. This is not someone else in that person's life, like a parent or a spouse, being the one responsible for giving the feedback all the time. But this is the person with ADHD taking the agency to find a good, highly qualified, highly effective, highly trained ADHD coach and saying, hey, help me figure out where my problem areas are and how I can make things better for me and for those around me that I work with, that I love, that I live with. And that, I think, takes the onus off the partner or the parent or like the coworker in a business to always be managing the other person's ADHD. Because again, that doesn't feel good either direction, right? Find a good ADHD coach and have the person with ADHD identify what needs to be better for my life to be working more smoothly, for my awesome qualities to be the things that are shining and not my ADHD.
Dr. Russell, as always, thank you so much for coming on and telling us more about how to understand someone with ADHD.
It's my pleasure. I am honored to be here with you. I think what you're doing is so very important that people understand that ADHD doesn't take away anybody's awesomeness.
All right, so I have a special guest after that wonderful interview with Dr. Noreen Russell. I've got my son.
Hi.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good.
I've really appreciated your feedback on the book that I've written. And, you know, when we wrote the book, it started about 3 years ago where we weren't really, like, we kind of knew that you had the same brain as me, but we didn't talk about you a ton in the book. That's kind of, that's your own story to tell. But it seems like you have comfortably kind of, I don't know how to say this, you're out. Like, you are an ADHD brain, right?
Yeah. Probably not as much as you do, but I still do, like, have some of the same things.
You've become a really important member of my team. Like, I've seen you kind of keep your eye on me and make sure, hey, I'm going to make sure daddy's got the stove off right now. So I do appreciate that. Yes. I think we do that for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
So I talked to Dr. Russell about this video that you and I did where we literally started celebrating like we just won the Super Bowl every time we did a chore. I mean, I know it was a silly thing, but do you feel like that worked for you?
It worked for me just because like those things, even though they're just simple tasks, can be hard for us. And just celebrating them made them feel better and made them like kept your mind on it. And it was easier to do them, I guess.
We talked about something called emotional valence. And it's a term that I had never heard before, but it's basically assigning some sort of skin in the game, if you will. Something, I guess, at the end of the rainbow for yourself to allow you to get through some of these tasks that your brain doesn't love.
Yeah.
And you pointed out that you actually said, was that like moral desserts? And I was like, how do you know what moral desserts is? I'm like, my kid is really smart.
Watching The Good Place.
Oh, was it really? So it's like moral desserts, but for yourself, which I think is okay.
Yeah.
Then, you know, more so than maybe Chidi Adegonye would have said. We also talked about a bunch of hacks. Like, you know, some of mine, like I set a timer when I turn the stove on now.
Yeah.
I pee standing or sitting down so that I don't leave the toilet seat.
I didn't know that. Yeah. And I don't think I need to know that. Yeah. You just like told me earlier today, you know what, PC? I pee sitting down. And I'm like, I do not need to know that.
Yeah, but now I never leave the toilet seat up. I also feel like you've, without even realizing it, you, and I think a lot of ADHDers do this and they deserve a lot of credit, you've done some hacks of your own to kind of get through the day, right?
I realized that whenever during the weekdays, I would get distracted from like homework or studying or anything by like phones or video games. And so I came up to my parents and I'm like, hey, how about this? During the weekdays, I just can't use those things until everything's done and I am cleared out. And then in return, I can then use them on weekends and just have like a good old...
You can have a good old time, do whatever you want.
Good old time, yeah. And that's been working, especially for the last few weeks. It's been definitely working.
I think the most mature thing that you did is you by yourself attached your own emotional valence, right?
Yes.
You, and the emotional valence is weekends is party time for me.
Yes, I get party time.
Yeah. Which for my 14-year-old son, and I'm glad that he's at this point, party time for him is FaceTiming with people and playing NBA 2K.
Yeah.
And that is a good, healthy, good, healthy party, I think, when you're not playing basketball.
Yeah.
PC, thank you again so much for joining.
Of course.
I'm super proud of you for not only being open and honest about your ADHD, but sharing some of your hacks.
Yeah.
And that concludes our All About ADHD podcast. We're going to end, as we have in the first two episodes, with a wrap. So here are some of my ADHD hacks. Systems in place that will help me attack every day and minimize the mistakes that I make and maximize the other parts of my brain that are great. I wear a lot of pants that have zippers, you see, so that everything I need I can keep close to me. I set a timer every time that I use a burner. When it comes to turning stoves off, I'm a slow learner. I pee sitting down. I know, you're like, what? But that way I don't ever leave the toilet seat up. And me and my son, every time we do a chore, we celebrate like we've never done it before. It's because you need emotional valence with this brain. We like it when we got a little skin in the game. Give yourself a reward like my son and me, and you can maximize your ADHD. All right, you made it to the end of a three-part series on ADHD. If you have ADHD and you made it here, a special congratulations. I know that takes a little bit to make it through some of this longer form content, but we tried to make it as entertaining for you as possible. Thank you again to all of the amazing doctors who helped make this happen, Dr. Marcy Caldwell, Dr. Emily King, and today's Dr. Noreen Russell. Also, thank you to my good friend Anne-Marie Tapke, my lovely wife Kim Holderness, and my son PC Holderness for being special guests. Again, this has been All About ADHD. We hope you enjoyed it, and also we hope you get a chance to buy the book. ADHD is awesome. You're the best. Bye.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.